Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Wednesday, April 27th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, Bush attempts to unseat Paxton. Land Commissioner mentions AG's lack of campaigning in GOP runoff. By Stuart Doreen. George P. Bush is a man with work to do if he is going to unseat Ken Paxton as the Republican nominee for Attorney General. On March 1st, Bush claimed nearly half the votes of Paxton in the party's primary, 823,199 to 439,240. However, Paxton reached 42.71% of the vote, well short of the threshold needed to avoid a May 24th runoff. In Midland County, Bush's work is even greater. Paxton collected 49.5% of 14,721 votes from Republicans here. Bush finished a distant third. But Bush did have his ticket to the runoff punched, and he has the one-on-one matchup versus Texas's Attorney General coming up. And, just like the primary race, he will take his message to the people of Midland, even if Paxton won't join the fray. I kind of joke to Republican party clubs that he's running a Joe Biden-style campaign, and they're enjoying that line, Bush said prior to his meeting with Midland's chapter of the Republican National Hispanic Assembly on Monday. But, you know, the way I'm running this campaign is running uncontested, basically throughout the state of Texas, whether it's with RNHA today or other grassroots clubs throughout Texas. We have yet to see him or his campaign emerge. The same was true when Paxton no-showed the Ector County GOP debate prior to the primary at the Wagner Noel. Bush, Eva Guzman, and Louis Gohmert took the stage, answering questions for nearly an hour. The most recent Paxton visits to Midland included welcoming President Donald Trump during the president's 2020 visit to the Permian Basin, and a tour of the migrant camp inside Midland County in 2021. I think it's really a sad statement that he literally believes that he's above the law, whether it's his court filings on his FBI investigation defense or the three felony counts that he faces in Harris County. But running a campaign that doesn't engage fellow conservatives and assumes that he has their vote, Bush said. And I think it's going to come back and cost them on election night. A New York Times article published prior to the primary election stated that Paxton has been facing state charges of felony securities since 2015, stemming from his time as a member of the Texas House, during which, prosecutors have said, he directed investments to a firm without disclosing he would be compensated for doing so. Paxton has denied the charges and said the prosecution was politically motivated, the article added. The article then mentioned that several of Paxton's top aides in 2020 accused the Attorney General of bribery and abuse of power in connection with his actions on behalf of a real estate developer and campaign donor. Paxton's legal issues was something Guzman addressed during a visit to Midland in September. Would you hire someone who's indicted and facing a serious FBI investigation? Guzman said, although not mentioning Paxton's name. Bush said there is an opportunity to rebuild the Attorney General's office with the type of talent that can help rebuild the lines of communication with local district attorneys around the state. County DAs used to have a direct line to their AG to confront capital crimes, human trafficking cases, voting fraud. And that level of trust is gone, Bush said. Ken has managed to lose trust not only with county DAs, but with the people of Texas and with the legislature. And so, when I've been campaigning, and as you saw in the Wagner-Noel debate, people are really concerned about voting fraud, about critical race theory, about the future of education and border security. But none of these challenges can get done because nobody will invest the authority necessary to take it on with the current occupants. So he's abusing the office for his own personal gain, knowing that his advice from his lawyer probably is to stay in office for as long as you can to get the best plea agreement with federal attorneys, assuming an indictment flows after the political process. Bush, the current land commissioner, has won statewide in Texas, and he campaigns for the runoff trying to collect as much of the 34.5% of the primary vote that went to Guzman or Gohmert. He also seeks to show himself as the face of GOP diversity as the lone Hispanic statewide office holder. He told the Reporter-Telegram the counties he carried were mostly south of San Antonio and along the border, counties in which Republicans are gaining strength, as demonstrated by the 2020 presidential election. He said border security is a big part of his message. "I'm the son of a legal immigrant who honors the process," Bush said. But the criminality that we're seeing on the border is now creating a frustrating situation among Hispanics, whether they're Republican or Democrat. And we're seeing folks are ready to vote, not only their values in a primary runoff as Republicans, where we saw almost a doubling of the turnout in counties like Hidalgo County and Cameron County, but also to do so in the general election. So look, Hispanics will not gravitate toward Ken Paxton as the nominee. If anything, he's going to repel them and actually think maybe twice about coming over to the Republican Party. This article is entitled "Biden Grants Clemency to Two Odessans" from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. Two Odessans were among the 75 commutations granted Tuesday by President Joe Biden. Mark Richard Burton and Aaron Ponce were convicted on drug charges in the Western District of Texas. Burton was sentenced on March 16, 2016, for conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute and to distribute 50 grams or more of actual methamphetamine and or 500 grams or more of a mixture and substance containing methamphetamine. He was sentenced to 121 months of imprisonment, a 5-year term of supervised release, and a $15,000 fine. His sentence was commuted to expire on April 26, 2023, with the remainder to be served in home confinement, leaving intact and in effect the 5-year term of supervised release. Ponce is serving time for conspiracy to possess with intent to distribute and to distribute a controlled substance, 50 grams or more of actual methamphetamine. He was sentenced on July 11, 2013. He received 240 months of imprisonment and a 10-year term of unsupervised release sentence. His sentence is commuted to expire on August 24th. Leaving intact and in effect the 10-year term of supervised release. President Biden also granted 3 pardons. This article is entitled "Midland Trail Park to Have Opening Saturday" from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. The Permian Basin Bicycle Association and West Texas Trail Alliance are welcoming the public to the Midland Trail Park grand opening on Saturday. The event is scheduled for 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. at the park, 3215 Farm to Market Road 307. The event will feature basic bike prep and maintenance clinic, bike gear clinic, lunch, and speakers, a medium-paced group ride of the complete trail, a woman's group ride, and beginner and family group ride on the Green Trail. The trail park features a hiking and trail running area, disc golf, skills park, and all skill level trails. There will also be a mountain bike raffle, bike clinics, burgers and hot dogs, plus door prizes. Park officials have stated there is not an entrance fee, and if a person decides he or she likes the park, they can join the PBBA for $30 a year or $35 a year for the entire family. That fee provides access to the Midland Trail Park and the Odessa Mountain Bike Park and helps to defray the ongoing maintenance costs of the facility. The city's involvement in this public-private partnership is the donation of land. Midland Trail Park is located near Harris Field Fire Training Facility, which resides on Farm to Market Road 307. This column is called In Brief. Texas Monthly reviews Half Acre. Midland and Odessa barbecue restaurants are featured in this month's barbecue joint reviews by Texas Monthly. The Half Acre got a full review about John Scarborough's problem-solving skills and Aaron Leslie's legendary barbecuing. The review encapsulates the Scarborough Ranch's history of raising cattle and the symbiotic relationship to the Half Acre and Midland Meat Company. An Odessa food truck was also spotlighted in its own review. Brantley Creek Barbecue has made Odessa a barbecue road trip destination, according to the review. Barbecue lovers won't have to travel to Odessa Camera RC and Armory off Tanglewood in Odessa for much longer, because the food truck has plans to open a brick and mortar. Brantley Creek Barbecue has plans to open on Faudry Road off of State Highway 191. Check out the review at texasmonthly.com/bbq/half-acre-serves-bbq-from-ranch-next-door and texasmonthly.com/bbq/brantley-creek-bbq-odessa-review by J.C. Lewis. Ally Village Butter closes. Ally Village Butter Restaurant has closed its doors due to understaffing, according to signage put up on the doors of the restaurant. The restaurant opened June 26, 2019. It was known for craft cocktails and small shareable plates. The restaurant is located at 200 Spring Park Drive, Suite 210. It featured brunch on Saturday and Sunday and a happy hour from Tuesday through Friday. By J.C. Lewis. WTFB receives 4,000-pound apple donation. The West Texas Food Bank on Tuesday received 4,960 pounds of apples from United Supermarkets and Market Street's Take a Bite Out of Hunger program. The donation was part of a larger donation of more than 50,000 pounds of apples across Texas and New Mexico, according to a press release. In the first 11 years of the Take a Bite Out of Hunger program, United Family Stores have donated more than 500,000 pounds of apples and fed more than 167,000 families. Now, in the 12th year, the company continues to add to that total. We are so proud to continue the tradition of Take a Bite Out of Hunger donations to food banks across our communities, said Joseph Bunting, Produce Business Director for the United Family. Now in our 12th year of this program, we understand just how much these donations mean to the food banks and the families they serve. Food banks receiving donations include West Texas Food Bank, Odessa Midland, South Plains Food Bank, Lubbock High Plains Food Bank, Amarillo Food Bank of West Central Texas, Abilene Minis Food Pantry, Dallas Concho Valley Regional Food Bank, San Angelo Rust Street Ministries, San Angelo Wichita Falls Area Food Bank, Wichita Falls Food Bank of Eastern New Mexico, Clovis, New Mexico, Roadrunner Food Bank, Albuquerque, New Mexico. Storehouse Food Bank of New Mexico, Albuquerque, New Mexico. This article is from the Midland Reporter-Telegram. This is the opinion page. This column is entitled, Musk's Purchase of Twitter Should Be About Making Sense, by Stuart Doreen, editor, Midland Reporter-Telegram. In the end, Elon Musk righted a wrong by making the Twitter discussion about business. He made an offer the Twitter stockholders couldn't refuse. There have been many people, on the left and right, who wanted to make the Twitter controversy about politics. But in the end, Musk's purchase wasn't going to be about how conservative, liberal, or libertarian he is. It's about the number of dollars he offered, and I can live with that. In January of last year, I wrote in this space that if conservatives really wanted to have a social medium they could control, they needed to start their own version of Twitter. Musk, as it turned out, did one better, and the outcome of his spending of $44 billion was predictable. Conservatives raved, and liberals cried, saying no one would want to go to an unmoderated social platform. The truth is likely in the middle. It typically is. Oh, sure, former President Donald Trump may start tweeting again, but when that happens, we will see that his tweets weren't really thought-provoking at all, and we will wonder what the fuss was about. Banning Trump made his Twitter usage more memorable than his actual tweets, and as a bonus, it turned him into a victim. At some point, that will end too. The truth is, Republicans and conservatives had a point about what content the Twitter police and other social media companies were deciding to ban. Democrats got a lot of mileage from the social media's banning of Hunter Biden content and other information that would have portrayed the political left in a bad light. But, like I wrote in this space before, that was a decision a private company made, which it should be able to make. You walk into many restaurants and there is a sign that states that the restaurant owner retains the right to refuse service to anyone. Is that a reason to call for boycotts? I am on Twitter, at Editor Stu, and would have been whether Elon Musk purchased the company or not. I go on mostly to follow college football and Texas A&M recruiting, and every once in a while I tweet something uninteresting. If your Twitter use changes because of the recent developments, good for you. But my guess is, for a vast majority of Midlanders, it won't make a difference in how they go about their lives. This is the obituary column, Wednesday, April 27th. Earl G. Rodman, Jr. Earl George Rodman, Jr., age 98, died March 26th at his home in Odessa. He was preceded in death by his three siblings, Jean, Nancy, and Tom, and his wife of 73 years, Shirley Rodman. Born August 3, 1923, in Chadwick, Missouri, to E. G. Rodman and Faye Hummel Rodman, he grew up in Texas. He is survived by their four children, George, Wendy of Oklahoma City, Alan, Marilyn of Gunnison, Colorado, Rosemary, Siegfried of Dallas, Noel, Kim of San Luis Obispo, California. 10 grandchildren and 15 great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held at 2 p.m. April 29th at First Baptist Church, Odessa. If desired, donations can be made in his memory to local organizations, Boys Club of Odessa, or Door of Hope Mission. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Marcus Brown. Marcus Dean Brown, 68, passed away on Wednesday, April 20th, in Caldwell, Texas. Dean was born on September 9, 1953, in Cisco, Texas, to the late Joseph B. and Marguerite Sick Brown. Dean is survived by his wife of 35 years, Linda Brown, daughter Emily Brown, Nicholas Sladen, and son Ryan Brown, Paige LaGarce, sister Darlene Brown Johnson, and numerous extended family and friends. A funeral service will be held on Thursday, April 28th at 1 p.m. at Elmwood Funeral Home Chapel. Interment will follow at Elmwood Memorial Park. Mary Lee is survived by her husband of 66 years, Kenneth Marks of Midland, children Jamie, Tim Skaggs of College Station, John David, Suzanne Marks, and Lane Marks of Midland, and Julie Rocky Jackson of Newark, Texas. She is also survived by 8 grandchildren, Mr. Owen Leck and Virgie Vesta Gamble Bird in Shep, Texas, and 8 great-grandchildren. She is also survived by several nieces, nephews, and cousins. Mary Lee is preceded in death by her parents, her brother Buddy Lester Bird, and a host of family that has gone before her. In lieu of flowers, memorial donations may be made to Permian Basin FCA or Crestview Baptist Building Fund. The family will receive guests from 6 to 8 p.m. Wednesday, April 27th at Nally Pickle and Wells Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Thursday, April 28th at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Celebration of life service would be held at 1:30 p.m. Thursday, April 28th at Crestview Baptist Church. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Mary Lou Hudson King Thompson. Mary Lou passed away peacefully in her sleep on April 21st in Houston, just after her 95th birthday. Mary Lou was the second daughter of Alma Vivian Davenport and Horace Raymond Hudson. She was born in Vernon, Texas in 1927. Preceded in death by her parents, sister Anna Louise, her son Paul, and both husbands. She is survived by her children Karen and George Punch James of Houston, Julie and Eric Olson of Midland, and daughter-in-law Julie King of West Palm Beach, Florida, as well as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A memorial service will be held on Saturday, April 30th at 10 a.m. at Fairhaven Methodist Church, 1330 Gessner Road, Houston. Miriam Mim Wise Jones. Miriam Mim Wise Jones, born March 3, 1944 in Port Arthur, Texas, went to her Heavenly Father April 15th, surrounded by family. Mim is preceded in death by her parents, Mildred and C.F. Wise, her brother Clark. She is survived by her loving husband Bobby, his daughter and her husband Martha and Lupe Natividad, as well as grandson Taylor and wife Autumn, great-grandson Jude Jones, her son Richard and his wife Lisa Taylor, grandchildren Cody and Kylie, her sisters Vicky McKenzie and Sydney Griffin, as well as many grandchildren and great-grandchildren. A celebration of life will be held Saturday, April 30th, from 12 to 2 p.m. at 2315 Country Club Drive. All family and friends are welcome. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Hospice of Midland. Wilma June Galbraith Sutherland. Wilma June Galbraith Sutherland went to be with her Lord on April 24th. June was born on June 21st, 1931, in Chandler, Oklahoma, to Nathaniel Stice and Maggie Campbell Stice. In 1950, she met and married Joe D. Galbraith. They moved to Midland in 1955, and she was widowed in 1968. She met Leroy Sutherland in 1978, and they married in 1981. She was preceded in death by her parents, one sister, four brothers, and a stepdaughter. She is survived by her son Mike Galbraith and wife Judy, granddaughter Tiffany Floyd, grandson Joe D. Galbraith and wife Michelle, three great-grandchildren, and nieces and nephews. In lieu of flowers, the family suggests memorial donations may be made to Tunnel to Towers Foundation. Arrangements are under the direction of Natalie Picklinwell's funeral home, and online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Death Notices. Ernestine Marion Simmons. Ernestine Marion Simmons, 71, of Midland, passed away April 21st. Memorial service will take place on Friday, April 29th at 1 p.m. at Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home Chapel. Online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
This is Mackie, and I'll be reading from the Odessa American for April 27, 2022. Concert honors late AHS band director. From the OA News. Canyon, the life of the late Andrews High School band director Darren Johns, will be commemorated today by the West Texas State University Concert Band. Featuring former students of Johns, the piece is called The Essence of Memory and will be performed at 6 p.m. Wednesday in Mary Moody Northern Recital Hall on WT's Canyon campus. It will also be live-streamed on the School of Music's Facebook page. B.J. Brooks, West Texas Professor of Music Theory and Composition and Director of the Buffalo Marching Band, was commissioned to write the piece. The music commemorates the life of Johns, who died in a November 19th bus pickup crash near Big Spring. Also killed in the wreck was Mark Elbert Boswell, an Andrews High math teacher and director of data information systems, who was driving the school bus, a news release said. The concert band also will perform Brooks' Willows of Winter, conducted by student Shelby Easley McPherson, a graduate music performance student from Odessa. Galactic Empires by David Gillingham, Xerxes by John Mackey, conducted by student Emily Henson, a graduate music performance student from Hereford, and the finale of Vasily Kalinkov's Symphony No. 1 in G minor. The concert's band performance will be followed at 8 p.m. by the WT Symphonic Band. Russ Tewellate, Associate Professor of Music, Associate Director of Bands, and Coordinator of Music Education, said he had known of Johns but first came in contact with him in 2014 because he was in charge of the ATSSB All-Region Band. Tewellate said Johns helped him get everything organized, and Johns was just a great guy, among the best of the best to get to work with. He said performing the piece is affecting. I've had students from his bands that come to camp at the time of the accident. I had two of his students in my band. They are actually going to be performing on the piece as well. The piece is super impactful, and it's great to honor somebody who had such a positive influence on so many people's lives, Tewellate said. Former students of Johns performing in the concert band include sophomore Anthony Nova Graddock and junior Landon Prophet. Prophet, a French horn player, said Johns was a mentor to him. It was pretty rough. I spoke at his funeral. I still have a necklace that he gave me. There's quite a bit of stuff. It was quite emotional. I've gone through the grieving process, but I'm better now, Prophet said. He added that he thinks it's great that he gets to perform a piece dedicated to Johns. He said Brooks, he consulted him before he published the piece, played it for Prophet, and let him listen to it. Brooks also took some of Prophet's input. It was pretty honorable that he did that, and he asked me a few questions about Darren and stuff like that when writing that piece and composing it, Prophet said. After fighting off tongue cancer twice, Prophet said Johns couldn't play low brass instruments in general, but he forced himself to learn French horn, Trumpet. He started playing trumpet in rehearsal, and he really started teaching me on the French horn. That was really one of the big, pivotal moments in my life. Because that's when I decided I wanted to go into music, is when he started working with me on my solo work and providing insight, Prophet said. He added that Johns was a very upright man and a Christian believer. He said Johns poured a lot into his church. Johns was super passionate about music and passionate about teaching. Prophet said he also was passionate about music, whereas some musicians are love band because they like being part of the band family. Prophet is studying music technology so he can go into the behind-the-scenes work of music production. Brooks said he was contacted a few weeks after the bus accident about writing a piece honoring Johns, and he felt honored to do so. He said many people, especially in West Texas, love their band directors. Brooks said he thinks it's wonderful to have students from Andrews playing the piece. I think playing music can be very cathartic, and that's why many people listen to it. It provides a means for people to express their thoughts and memories, Brooks said. Mudbug Benefits Meals on Wheels by Michael Bauer. For the first time in 3 years, Meals on Wheels of Odessa was able to have its signature event as it hosted its Mudbug fundraiser Tuesday night at Barn G at the Ector County Coliseum. Nearly 500 people were expected to feed on the all-you-can-eat shrimp, crawfish, and fried catfish. The event started 2 decades ago and was the brainchild of Judge Jim Bobo and originally took place at Graham Central Station. It's so much fun, Monty Garner, who is on the board of directors at Odessa Meals on Wheels and is currently the treasurer for the organization, said. It was started years ago. It's our only fundraiser of the year. As a board, we're required to do an annual fundraiser. You think about doing something new, but this is fun. It's a very casual event, so many of the events are dress-up and black-tie events. This is come as you are. You come here and enjoy it. There's a DJ, there'll be raffle tickets, and neat items to sell. The last Mudbug that we had was in 2019. It was very fun and very successful. Because of COVID, the Mudbug fundraiser had to be delayed for a couple of years. This was the first time the event was able to come back since before the pandemic. It feels like we've almost had to reinvent the wheel a little bit because when you go that long without something, there are a lot of things that change, Garner said. We've changed a lot of board members. There are some people that are no longer on the board, but it's been successful. The board has worked wonders, joining together and doing an amazing job. A lot of work from volunteers go into the event and helping set it up. There is so much community effort that goes into this, Garner said. There's a lot of people and a lot of involvement. Of course, you can also imagine the cost of everything. There's peel and eat shrimp, and the catfish is to die. Then there's the corn and potatoes. There are different people that come in and work on it. People from the Ector County Coliseum also help out. Those people are phenomenal, Garner said. They've been amazing. They came in Monday to help set up tables. Then there are the board members, and each of them have a part in either doing the decorations or invitations. There are so many parts to it. It is truly a community effort, and it benefits this community. The 20 board members have all been involved in some way. On Monday, Garner said there were about 5 to 10 volunteers helping out and another 5 to 10 helping set up during the day on Tuesday. Tuesday night's event featured close to 50 volunteers, including members of the Odessa Jackalopes. We'll be serving food, and that's exciting. We reached out to them, and the community really enjoys helping. We've had Permian students come in and help serve. Osco Services employee Cecil Wood is one of the cooks for the Mudbug fundraiser and has been for at least 15 years. The main thing I love about it is that it helps Meals on Wheels, Wood said. It's the benefit for them. Osco Services takes care of the catfish and hush puppies. The main thing is that I get to see my buddies that I don't get to see all the time, but it's a great benefit for Executive Director Margaret Burton and Meals on Wheels. Judy Hayes, who is another board member at Odessa Meals on Wheels, commented on how well organized the event is. "People that have been on the committee and the board have been doing this for years," Hayes said. "There's a book that we use as a guide. The people who have been doing this for a long time know what the process is like." New Juvenile Center Goes Out for Bid by Royal McGregor. Ector County Commissioners unanimously approved the process to begin to receive construction bids for the new juvenile center. The agenda item was heard during Tuesday's Commissioner Court meeting in the Commissioner's Courtroom at the Ector County Administration Annex, Room 120, 1010 East 8th Street. Mike Gardner, the Ector County Commissioner for Precinct 1, said he has been eager to get construction bids as building costs continue to rise. The new Juvenile Justice Center has budgeted for $25 million. "I want us to get this thing going," Gardner said. "I know costs are going up. They have $25 million to spend, and that's what they are going to get. As costs go up, they are going to scale this thing down to keep it within the budget that they have. I'll get a lot more excited when I see numbers come out. We needed the juvenile center. It's a big expense, but as big as our county is and our city is, we need a place to house kids that don't behave." Though it has been more than a year since the commissioner okayed the certificates of obligation for the new juvenile center, Gardner said he will feel a little more at ease when construction bids start to come in. The youth center, which is currently at 1401 East Yukon Road and has been in that location since Armando Rodriguez, the Ector County Commissioner for Precinct 4, told the Odessa American after Tuesday's meeting that he's excited about the process of a new juvenile center taking another step. "It had to be done because the condition at the current location is not in good condition," Rodriguez said. "We need to give a better place for the kids to see if we can get them back to society and be good for society." Gardner said the ability of the new youth center to have vocational opportunities is going to be a positive. Gardner explained that attending college or university isn't for every kid, but he hopes the youth that enter the juvenile justice center can learn a trade that will help change some of their lives around. "Everybody makes mistakes, some more than others," Gardner said. "Especially with kids, you always have that faith that something will click in them or somebody will come into their life that helps them make decisions. I would like to know that Ector County had a part in doing that, and we should. We should give them all the advantages that we can to turn them around and get them on the right path." The court also approved a request from Downtown Odessa Incorporated to utilize the Ector County Courthouse parking lot for the annual Firecracker Fandango Festival on July 2nd. Approved the AIA Change Order No. 1 and the Certificate of Substantial Completion for the Sheriff's Office additions and to ratify the county judge's signature. Approved Amendment No. 2 to Contract No. HHS-000812-700018 between the Department of State Health Services and Ector County. Approved Kid Heights, a subdivision of 131.78 acres of land situated in Section 13, Block 44, T-2-S, T&P Railway Company Survey, Ector County, Texas, Precinct 1. Approved Consent Agenda. Approved a line item transfer to self-funded liability insurance fund claims expenses 032-960-5382 for $20,449 from Contact Services 032-960-5309 for $5,000 from Terrorism Insurance 032-960-5376 for $5,449 and from County Legal Fees 032-960-5334 for $10,000. approved a line item transfer to General Fund Senior Center Special Department Equipment 001-630-5507 for $14,376 and to Departmental Furniture and Equipment 001-630-5199 for $4,879 from Contract Services 001-630-5309 for $19,255. Approved the Accounts Payable Fund Requirements Report for April 26, 2022 to review county financial statements and reports. Quick hits. Early voting. Early voting will continue through May 3rd for the Constitutional Amendment Special Election and the Ector County Independent School District Special Bond Election. Early voting schedule will be from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. through Friday and from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. May 2nd through the 3rd at the Ector County Annex, Room 104, 1010 East 8th Street. For more information, call 432-498-4030 in Odessa or 432-688-4890 in Midland. For early voting schedule, Election Day vote centers, or sample ballots, visit tinyurl.com/MRXN4YVD in Odessa or tinyurl.com/2P8K49 2U in Midland, or for the Secretary of State at sos.state.tx.us. Book fair and book signing. Bynum School, 5100 Avalon Drive, Midland, has scheduled a book fair and book signing featuring author Amy Cravey from 7:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. today. Cravey will be signing copies of her book, Who Are You?, a book written to help children understand who they are in Christ. Crime Victims Rights Event. As part of Ector County Victims Coalition recognized National Crime Victims Rights Week, a Crime Victims Rights event has been scheduled at 11 a.m. today at the Ector County Courthouse Lawn, 300 North Grant Avenue. Visit tinyurl.com/YCKMEHDS. Flag football signup. City of Odessa Parks and Recreation Department has opened registration for any amateur players wanting to start a flag football team. Cost per team is $300 and consists of 8-on-8 leagues with no more than 20 players per team. It will be an 8-game season with a double elimination end of the season tournament under the Texas Amateur Athletic Federation Division A or B. Games will be played at 2 p.m. on Sundays, May 1st through June 5th. Games will take place at the Comanche East Complex, 1201 West Monahan Street. Deadline to register is today. To register your team or for more information, visit parks.odessa-tx.gov. Blue the Basin. The Midland Rape Crisis and Children's Advocacy Center will host Blue the Basin, the mainstay event that promotes child abuse awareness and prevention while providing a safe and fun environment for the whole family, from 5:30 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. today at Museum of the Southwest, 1705 West Missouri Avenue. Visit tinyurl.com/BDZ22489. Dia del Niño. Music City Mall and 106.7 Que Buena has scheduled Dia del Niño from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Friday at the mall, 4101 East 42nd Street. Half price will be included at the following attractions: skating, mall moto, action time bungee, bumper cars, and train rides. There will also be bounce houses, giveaway drones, $1,000 shopping sprees, and more. Visit tinyurl.com/MRXS8TSW. School Bond Town Hall. Ector County Commissioner Mike Gardner, Precinct 1, has scheduled a town hall regarding the proposed Ector County school bond from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. today at the Kellis Turner Park, Sheriff Annex, 2230 Sycamore Drive. Please take a moment to answer this survey, two questions, at tinyurl.com/2P9XDXER. Why is the school bond important to you? If approved, all Ector County residents, including inside and outside the city limits, would see an increase in taxes to fund the construction of the new high school, along with all of the things that are needed to support student education, all furnishings, athletics, etc. To RSVP, go to tinyurl.com/MT5SRPF4. For more information, call 432-556-2332 or email Commissioner Mike Gardner, p1@gmail.com. Superhero Run. The Attic has scheduled a Superhero 5K for the whole family from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. Saturday at First Baptist Church, 2104 West Louisiana Avenue, Midland. The event is to celebrate the heroes who are making lasting impacts in our local foster care community and to bring opportunities to get involved for those who aren't yet aware of the foster crisis. Race fee is $35. Registration ends at 11:59 p.m. Thursday. To sign up, donate, or for more information, visit tinyurl.com/YC4H9AYF. Annual Geoscience Symposium. The University of Texas of the Permian Basin has scheduled the 5th Annual Geoscience Symposium from 8:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. Thursday at the UTPB Engineering Building, Henry Lecture Hall, 1st floor, 4901 East University Boulevard. The art exhibit will take place from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. Speakers will be David Cannon, Senior Vice President at Diamondback Energy, and Denise Cox, President of Storm Energy. Dia del Niño. Casa de Amigas, 1101 Garden Lane, Midland, will celebrate Dia del Niño, Children's Day, from 6 p.m. to 6:30 p.m. Thursday. Midland College Choir students will present a special performance in goodie bags. For more information, call 432-492-9701 or email sgreen@casedeamigosmidland.org. COVID-19 news. COVID-19 tests. The City of Odessa Incident Command is partnering with Curative to offer the COVID-19 PCR test drive-thru from 8 a.m. to 4:30 p.m. Monday through Friday at the corner of 2nd Street and Grant Avenue. Insurance information will be requested. If no insurance, test will be free. To book an appointment, visit curative.com. by the numbers. Ector County, 37,488 total cases, 702 deaths. Midland County, 40,783 total cases, 495 deaths. Texas, 6,810,953 total cases, 88,026 deaths. U.S. cases, 80,874,929 total confirmed and 988,991,000 deaths. Find out more at covidinthebasin.com or the CDC site at tinyurl.com/TZTRJLF. See the ECISD COVID-19 dashboard at tinyurl.com/Y6NTPTUQ. Education Foundation backs bond. The Education Foundation of Odessa Board of Directors on April 13th voted unanimously to support Odessans for Education and endorse the passage of Proposition A and B of the ECISD 2022 bond. As a community, we need to provide our kids a safe, welcoming, state-of-the-art school system. These two propositions are the first steps to investing in the future of our community and building an amazing opportunity for our children to thrive, a news release said. The Education Foundation of Odessa is a 501c3 nonprofit, tax-exempt, philanthropic organization of citizens who share a vision of enhancing education in ECISD. The Education Foundation of Odessa provides a new and innovative source of funding to support the school district's educational plan. The foundation does not attempt to replace lost state funding, nor does it attempt to take the place of the district's operating budget. When considering the level of funding required to educate students, the foundation can expect only to provide funds for those projects and activities that go beyond the normal classroom experience. Such initiatives provide enrichment, research opportunities, teacher training, intervention, and prevention strategies, and extend the educational effort, the release detailed. The mission of the Education Foundation is to create opportunities for education in Ector County ISD. Our vision is that every student in ECISD will be school ready, college ready, work ready, world ready. Dean leads 2022 Permian Basin Go Red for Women movement. The American Heart Association, the world's leading nonprofit organization devoted to world of healthier lives for all, has pegged Christina Robom, Regional Dean for the Physician Assistant Program for Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center, as the Community Volunteer Chair of the 2022 Permian Basin Go Red for Women movement. The campaign culminates with the Permian Basin Go Red for Women luncheon May 4th at the Odessa Marriott and Conference Center. Go Red for Women is a worldwide initiative of the American Heart Association designed to increase women's heart health awareness and serve as a catalyst for change to improve the lives of women locally, nationally, and globally, a news release said. Robom chose the Go Red for Women movement for its focus on women. The Permian Basin's Go Red for Women 2022 campaign encourages women to reclaim their rhythm. With health equity and the goal of improved physical and mental health at the forefront of movement, local sponsors and volunteers will help individuals and families make positive changes that get them dancing, connecting, sharing, and engaging in simple ways to help women reclaim their rhythm. This year's Go Red for Women luncheon is presented by platform sponsor Medical Center Health System and signature sponsor Texas Tech University Health Sciences Center. Media support comes from KMID TV in Odessa. Visit PermianBasinGoRed.heart.org for more information. Letter to the editor. Community asked to trust ECISD on bond propositions. Karen and I had the privilege of growing up in Odessa and raising our three sons here. All five of us were educated in ECISD schools. I later served on the school board, and she subsequently worked in the district as a speech pathologist. We are proud advocates for public schools and were blessed with parents who supported ECISD schools until the end of their lives. I was fortunate to serve as interim superintendent in ECISD in 2018-19. It was a tumultuous year with significant teacher shortages and a flaming economy driving prices through the roof. In November 2018, the community was asked to trust the district by supporting a TRE that, if passed, would bring significant new resources to the district. In October 2018, I wrote a piece for this newspaper in which I promised that we would earn that trust, spend the money in a transparent fashion, and prepare the way for new leadership. You overwhelmingly supported the TRE, and we earned your trust through the wise and transparent expenditure of those needed funds. Now, the time has come for the district to once again ask for the community's trust and for support of the two bond propositions. Through the exceptional leadership of Dr. Scott Murray, the district is well on its way to significant improvement in student outcomes, teacher supply, and teacher retention. It's my belief that Scott is one of the top five superintendents in the state of Texas, and the remarkable improvement in ECISD during his tenure, pandemic notwithstanding, is clear evidence of his talent. When I left in the summer of 2019, there were over 350 teacher openings. Today, there are about 50. Students' performance, as measured by kindergarten readiness and high school SAT scores, shows remarkable growth. Given time and the passage of this bond, I have no doubt Scott and his team and the teachers at all the schools will continue this improvement. School facilities receive what I call hard use. Thousands of feet walk those halls, use those rooms, and roam those playgrounds every day. Occasional updates are essential. The new CTE Center will bring ECISD up to where many districts are now going and will further allow more young people to explore their passions. It will enhance the partnerships of OC, one of the finest community colleges in the country. Finally, a new high school is critical. I was in both schools 4 years ago during class changes. It was organized mayhem. It is long past the time for a new school. Odessa will be better for it, as will the students at all three high schools. In summary, I ask for your trust one more time. Jim Nelson, ECISD Board Member, 1984 to 1995. SBEC Chair, 1996 to 1999. Texas Commissioner of Education, 1999 to 2002. Richardson ISD Superintendent, 2004 to 2006. Avid Center Executive Director, 2006 to 2013. ECISD Interim Superintendent, 2018 to 2019.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.